This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed. This week, our podcast is brought to you by BHP. Reducing greenhouse gas emissions in the production of copper is critical. That's why BHP has committed to solar, wind, and battery agreements to help power their copper mine at Olympic Dam in South Australia. It's happening now at BHP. Visit bhp.com/critical to find out more. Weekly Wrap is the place to go for conversations about the news and what's coming up. I'm Kate Watson.
And I'm Claire Kimball.
Sam Kerr was a very big story, Claire, coming into the back of the week. Also, Samantha Murphy, that really tragic story out of Victoria, has seen a big update. We've also got private health insurance and possible superannuation changes.
Yep, a rerun too of the 2020 presidential election is all but a sure thing. Can't wait to get into that.
I know. Stay till the end to hear from you, Claire, on what you're most proud of 7 years into the Squiz. It's our birthday.
It's our birthday. And Kate, I can't wait to hear your proud moments too.
Claire, the most clicked link was emphatically, if I can speak. We've had a big night. We were at the Swans last night, Claire. Didn't get home till late. Emphatically ahead of any other link in the newsletter this week. I don't think we've had such a resounding result in quite a while.
Yeah, it was a really big result clicking on this link.
4,000?
Yeah, more than 4,000.
That is ridiculous. It was a link to Stephen Miles.
Miles's
guns, as in his biceps.
It's exactly that.
I don't know what we should take out of this. We're recording this on International Women's Day. Is something wrong here?
It's empowering to be a perv, I think, and that's perfectly fine. Stephen Miles, of course, is the Queensland Premier. If you're thinking you need to see that photo, I reckon let's have it in the episode notes and you can perv all over again.
If you really, really need to see it. Sam Kerr, Claire, though, the biggest story, she needs no introduction. A household name in Australia, around the world. We've talked about her a lot. A year ago, she was out and about celebrating in the UK after a big win for her side, Chelsea. On her way home in a taxi, she was apparently sick in the taxi. For being there. The police were called. Somewhere in all of that, she is alleged to have called the police officer a stupid white bastard or something to that effect.
Yeah, there's a few variations of what she said. Mm. According to her legal team, they're going to argue that she called the officer a stupid white cop. Mm-hmm. So there's still a bit to go on that. Of course, it happened about a year ago, which sort of goes to this case that it's just such an unusual thing when you just go to the telling of it.
Yeah.
The facts of it, though, she's pleaded not guilty. She won't be back in court until February, if it does actually get to that point, because her legal team are going pretty hard on the fact that it's taken them that long to charge her. Let's see whether it actually gets to court in a year's time.
So it happened that long ago. She was officially charged 6 weeks ago. And this is important because a lot of those close to Kerr had no idea about the incident and no idea about the charges. So since this has come out, Football Australia said they didn't know about it. They've got no comment to make. Her Australian manager is making no comment. Her club, Chelsea, says that she has their full support. The Matildas coach, Tony Gustafsson, he said that he didn't know anything about it, but he said a similar thing, that he supports Sam Kerr. This one has turned into probably a much bigger news story than it might have been because it's turned into a debate about what racism is.
Yeah, there's all those unusual elements, and then there is this conversation about racism and whether it's racist to call someone white. So, look, I watch a lot of morning breakfast TV. I read a lot of commentary. It's really been a big theme this week. It's a debate that I don't reckon I can help you with.
We're not venturing there at all.
I just don't even know where to start with that. But I'm looking forward to reading a lot more about it, I have to say, because it is an interesting one.
And there will be a lot about it. There's also quite a few questions about Sam Kerr's position as the captain of a national sporting team. The most popular captain, the most popular sporting team. We've heard that time and time again. Mm. One comparison was made this week to, say, Pat Cummins, the captain of our cricket team. If he'd done something like this, would he have been stood down, especially if Cricket Australia was blindsided by the revelation?
Yeah, and plenty of people saying too, you can't really compare it to someone like Pat Cummins because he's a white guy and Sam Kerr is mixed race. So there's lots of conversations about exactly all of this. But in terms of his position as a national team captain, lots of questions about whether they are going easy on Sam Kerr because of the raging success of the Matildas and the fact that she is a woman.
It's one of these news stories that really gets people going. We had a lively discussion about it here in the Squiz office. It's likely to come up around a Saturday afternoon barbecue. Of course, you said to me some people like yourself perhaps at that point would back away, maybe needed to go to the toilet.
Depends the mood. I mean, I might just need to just go and get a drink.
I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah. Plenty in, of course, Sam Kerr's corner saying that this all seems to be a bit out of proportion, the fallout, the potential fallout for her sponsorships, her career, her position in the national team, but also her ability to show up at the Olympics potentially was going to be our flag bearer, was sort of a contender for that job. For what it's worth, she is out injured at the moment and won't be taking the field for some time. She's done her ACL. So the question of whether she should be playing or not is kind of irrelevant at this point.
Yeah, and it's been a bit of a question about whether she would captain that team heading into the Olympics just because of her injury. The end of April is the hearing, and look, we'll just see where the legal process takes on. Of course, the Olympics are in July and August, so the year is moving along.
Her legal team say that they're hoping just to have the charges cleared and have it all sorted out by then.
Yep.
Before we move on to other stories this week, the case of Samantha Murphy, who went missing whilst on a run outside of Ballarat in Victoria, fast closed in as the biggest story this week. Yesterday, Claire, a man was arrested. He's 22, apparently unknown to her.
So Patrick Stevenson is his name. The courts issued a temporary order on Thursday that stopped media outlets from naming him, but that was lifted on Friday. He's being held in custody. He's going to face court on the 8th of August.
It's the first time in custody for this man, and at the time of recording, Claire, the police were focused on finding the body of Samantha Murphy. We're going to get to Super Tuesday in the US in a minute, Claire. We've been building up to that one for a while. Let's start, though, with an announcement that impacts millions of Australians, and that's private health premiums going up again.
And they never really come down. So the annual news usually is that they go up, and that always takes effect in April. So there's a bit of a cycle to this. I know some insurers do return money from time to time, but private health really is one of those things that we pay for. It's a mainstay of our healthcare system. The public health and hospital system in Australia only functions because a good whack of us are in private health.
Yes. I think you must have in a former life worked as a press secretary for a health minister by the sound of those lines. But, I mean, you do know a lot about this. This time around, it's squarely in the range of cost of living costs. So this is what it's about. The health minister, Mark Butler, was keen to emphasise that he knocked back to the insurer's first price increase request.
Yeah, and that's all part of the process. So the government has to approve those applications by the insurers about how much they want to put their premiums up by. It's a process where the insurers have to justify why Australians should pay more. There's a lot of number crunching that goes on behind the scenes. If you can imagine the health system, there's lots of inputs into that, and there's lots of things that are very, very expensive. So if, for example, the drugs companies, the prosthetic companies, people who do joints like for knee replacements or heart valves, that kind of stuff, they put through price increases. That all gets passed on and has to be accounted for when it comes to how much we pay for our private health. Wages in the health system has been quite a talking point. Nothing comes cheap in the medical world, that's for sure.
Where they landed was a 3% average increase.
Yep.
You and I over the years have talked about the value of private health care. It's not cheap. You can understand people wanting to ensure they get value out of it, and sometimes that's hard to see. 13.6 million Aussies are covered, and the government acknowledges that many don't understand what they're covered for. It is confusing.
Yeah, and in recent years, you might remember it was about 2 or 3 years ago under the coalition, they actually put through reforms so that you get a one-pager. If you are in private health, you get
a
one-pager
so
that you can better understand what you're covered for, or you can dive in and try and compare policies when you're shopping around. But Look, I have to confess, I do know a bit about private health and how it all works, and I've got private health cover, but I don't think I really know off the top of my head exactly what I'm covered for. I'm constantly surprised, probably like many, where you do get a health service and you go and try and claim for it and it's not able to be covered.
Oh, like, I'm more surprised when it is. I'm like, yeah. Oh, there you go. That's great. Excellent. Happy days. It's a question people will be asking, though, because it's another cost in this cost of living crisis that we're in.
Yeah.
Many saying, why do I need it? Am I better just saving my money?
Yeah.
For those on higher incomes in particular, that isn't an option because then you get whacked by the Medicare levy.
Well, and you can just take the levy if that's you what can. You want. You can just pay that, but you're going to pay is the bottom line, whether it's to the government or whether it's to an insurer.
While we're talking about the cost of things, we heard this week that our economy is limping along. There's hope that things are on the up from here.
Yeah, so that came about with the National Accounts Update. That's basically the report on how our economy is growing or not growing, as the case may be. The numbers that were out this week rounded out how things went down in 2023. We're going okay. We'd like economic growth to be going much better, but economic growth for the last year, for 2023, came in at about 1.5%. When you look at the projections of where we're heading, the Reserve Bank would like our economic growth rate to be at about 2.1% for the coming financial year. So quite a bit of work to do. Like, that's quite an increase.
The point that was made a lot across the coverage this week was that what's contributing to this potentially working is those interest rate hikes.
Mm-hmm. They're designed to slow the economy. So they were actually designed, you put the interest rates up to stop us from spending, which of course slows the economy down. And as a result, slows inflation.
Mm.
So that's that loop coming back around, which is why Treasurer Jim Chalmers and plenty of others are saying, we know it's hard. We get that it's a whole thing, but the worst is probably behind us and it should be an improving sort of environment from here on in.
Just looked at the date. Have we had the first Tuesday of the month?
Look,
when is the RBA telling us about interest rates?
I'm completely discombobulated.
Yeah.
My whole adult working life has really been based around the Reserve Bank Board meeting on the first Tuesday of the month.
What is happening? Because I don't think they met on Tuesday, did they?
No. So we're in this brave new world.
Oh.
It's no longer the first Tuesday of the month necessarily that the Reserve Bank meets. Week after next is the next meeting. So there will be a lot of chatter really over the next 10 days or so about whether interest rates will come down now that inflation is slowing and our economy needs to be picked up a little bit.
Gotcha. So just back to when the RBA meets, because this is important for our planning, we just have to look at the calendar that they've put out and say this is when it's happening.
I'm out of whack. I don't have a natural rhythm with it. I'm checking out the Reserve Bank website all the time what's going on.
Anyone from the RBA listening, we're not happy.
Discombobulating is the word.
We're thinking it's the 19th of March. That's two Tuesdays, not next Tuesday, Tuesday after.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
all right. There you go.
Well, and they do two-day meetings now. So anyway, let's not get into that.
We're not okay.
It's a whole mood.
The other thing, obviously, that happened this week, and it's aligned to economic news, is the Women's Minister, Katie Gallagher, announced on Thursday that the government will pay superannuation on the government-paid parental leave payment from the 1st of July 2025. Claire, they have to get elected before then. So this is only if they get elected.
That is a really good point, Kate. So you're exactly right. The government, though, might get the support of the coalition on these things. So
that's true.
If that does happen, it'll probably wave on through. I don't know what the coalition's point of view on that is, but it is one of those reforms that, when you look at paid parental leave, has been talked about for quite a bit. What happens at the moment, private companies, of course, they're not required to pay paid parental leave. It's up to companies to do their own thing. But there is this government payment that everyone has an entitlement to up to a certain limit, which is quite a high limit in terms of income.
$150,000 a year.
Exactly. So when it comes to paying super on top of that, most companies do actually do that. Which is a really good thing. But when it comes to the government payment, that has been missing. So the whole aim of it, of course, it's a good thing to talk about in the week that is International Women's Day.
And gender pay gap,
all of those things, is making sure that women in their retirement incomes don't fall behind.
Don't fall behind. So, this announcement by the government, just so we're clear, is on the government paid parental leave payment. I did have a look at the private companies and what they do. That Wajir data that we've talked about actually does report this really clearly. 63% of employers offer some form of paid parental leave. The average is 12 weeks. 14% is taken by men. 86% pay super on it. So the majority do pay super on that.
Yeah, which is a really good thing. I'm surprised it was that high, to be honest. But of course, we talked about the gender pay gap on News Club this week. So if you're wandering around on the weekend and want to have a listen, just keep listening to this podcast show that you're currently on, because you'll get some really good information, including, Kate, you've done an interview with Jamila Rizvi.
I did an interview with Jamila Rizvi about the gender pay gap. She's a social commentator on gender equality. She really lives and breathes this issue. She's very informed on it. I think it's a good discussion, Claire, and I'm interested in your thoughts. You've listened to the interview on how she felt the data landed. We talk also a bit about her bubble. So as I said, she does live and breathe it, but she's very conscious that she's in a bubble and how she gets out of it to see other perspectives. Mm. And I think the big essential question in all of this, and we sort of posed that at the end of our News Club episode, and I put it to Jamila, is what sort of society are we looking to build here? What does Australia look like if we close the gender pay gap?
Exactly. It's a really good discussion. So if you are interested in this issue, the thing that I took out of it was, even for someone who makes their living out of talking about these issues and of course is a big feminist and a really thoughtful person when it comes to these issues, on the very pro-woman side, there are these issues around it has to include all of us.
Yeah.
And I think Jamila did a great job in articulating that this isn't a women's issue, it is a society issue.
I think that's exactly right. She also talked about boys and education, which I know is a really hot topic for a lot of mums of boys and dads of boys out there. Enough on that. We've done that to death this week. Super Tuesday, Claire.
Can we talk about that now?
Let's talk about Super Tuesday. Long story short, we now know, we can say with some certainty, Biden, Trump, Trump, Biden, Biden, Trump until November, until the presidential election in November.
I think that's kind of the headline. I don't know that I need to add too much more to that, but except it might be helpful just to cast forward about what happens now.
Yeah.
So the official party conventions to actually confirm that former President Donald Trump and the current President Joe Biden will be their party representatives at the next election, which is in November. They will happen in July when it comes to the Republicans and August for Biden. Mm-hmm. All those states that are still to vote in their primaries and their caucuses still have to happen. It's part of the process. So there will be a lot of talk about all of these primaries going forward, but both of those candidates will basically be debating each other now.
Nikki Haley, we better round her out.
Yeah.
So she was the sort of the last woman standing when it came to taking on Trump in those Republican primaries.
Yep.
She's out.
Gone. She lost a lot of her funding a fortnight ago when she lost a couple of primaries with no money. You can't do these campaigns. A presidential campaign to get through just that part of it when you're the designated candidate costs about $1 billion. So to continue to that point, to get to August and July, it's still a lot of money, and she didn't have the support because she wasn't going to be the candidate.
So we pivot to talking about what voters want, who they might vote for, how they feel about both candidates. Mm. We mean, lots of conversations already about Joe Biden's age.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, you pointed out to me, Claire, that on average about 60% of Americans vote in a general election,
yep,
but less than 30% vote in primaries. That's
yes,
how it works.
And it's very skewed in these primaries to the party faithful. Like
yep,
these are people who are actually registered with the party to be able to vote. So they've got very firm views. When you do open it up to the broader community, to Americans, let's see how that debate unfolds.
It's happening now. Before we get into what might be in the news next week, a message from our podcast advertiser, BHP. This week, they're keen to share with Squizzers how the resources they mine are key to the energy transition to renewable energy.
Yeah, we often hear about the push towards renewable energy, but what doesn't get as much attention is the role resources play in making that transition possible. Take steel, for instance. It's a key material used in the construction of renewable energy infrastructure, as well as in bridges, transportation, hospitals, and schools. And a big part of it comes from iron ore.
BHP says the importance of responsibly produced Australian iron ore is clear.
And by that, they mean reducing the greenhouse gas emissions associated with iron ore production. It's why BHP has committed to a solar and battery agreement to help power their port facilities at Port Hedland.
It's happening now at BHP. And if you want to learn more, visit bhp.com/critical. You'll find that link in your episode notes. Coming up this week, the start of Ramadan, Claire. That's the holiest month in the Muslim calendar, and for many, fasting begins on Monday. It's a public holiday in Tasmania, South Australia, the ACT and Victoria.
Dirty about that.
Also Monday, the Oscars.
Yeah. So some things to know as we head into Oscars. Jimmy Kimmel is hosting. He hosted last year. He's done it a couple of times before that as well. It's always a bit controversial about who's hosting and how it goes down. So that's something to know. Presenting the awards this year, there's going to be America Ferrera. She, of course, had huge success this year with the Barbie movie.
Oh, of course.
Emily Blunt, Ariana Grande, Jennifer Lawrence, Zendaya, Ryan Gosling, Chris Hemsworth. So there's an Aussie in there. Catherine O'Hara, I had to give her a shout out. She's from Schitt's Creek. Like, she's just the best. Oh, Moira.
So I don't know if people listening know that I don't know any famous people's names, do I, Claire? I'm really bad. Like, you always say, oh, don't you know so-and-so? And I go, oh, yeah, I know their face, but I don't really know who they are.
Yeah. I don't know what her role is there, but I'm looking forward to that.
There you go. Performing apparently is Ryan Gosling and Mark Ronson. They're going to do I'm Just Ken from Barbie. So that should be quite a bit of fun. I do know who Mark Ronson and Ryan Gosling
are. Okay, well done.
The hype is definitely around Oppenheimer and Killers of the Flower Moon. I'm still yet to see either of those movies.
Oppenheimer, I've seen. Killers of the Flower Moon, I haven't. It's a long one, so I feel like I need to get in the right mental space to sit down and do it. But
they're both long.
Friends have raved about it, so I'll do that one day.
That's all on 7 from 10 a.m. on Monday. Wednesday is the start of NAPLAN testing, big one for kids and families.
And Kate, you and I dug into that for our series, how far we've come with NGS Super, and good luck kids and teachers and families. We know it's a really big week.
Lots of footy as well. We said we went last night to recording this podcast on a Friday. We went last night, Thursday night, first game of the season, Claire. Footy is back. We've got AFL, NRL, Super Rugby, A-League. It's all on. Squiz recommends. You and I did an interview with Tim Burrows, Claire, on his podcast Unmade. That was out this week. I'm going to recommend it because I really like Unmade.
Yeah.
So more about a recommendation about Unmade than our podcast, but you're very welcome to listen to the interview we did. We talked about the Squiz, about our journey, about what we're thinking for our future. If you're interested, give it a listen. And Unmade's a great publication for anyone working in news, media, advertising, marketing. It's a great source of information.
If you work or are connected to that world, that news, media, marketing world, you'll probably know who Tim Burrows is. But for everyone else, he's a bit of a legend when it comes to being analytical and understanding the push and pull in media businesses and marketing businesses. So he is a bit of a Bible on these things. So it's quite a privilege to be asked to go on and talk
to
him, which we're really happy to do. We were pretty candid, Kate, about the business and how we're going and how we're feeling about things. Classic headline is, it's such a slog. Which it is.
But it's a fun slog.
But we love it. Yeah. If you dive into that and see, it looks a bit like, oh my God, are these girls okay? We're fine.
We're totally fine. We're having a great time.
And listen to the podcast. It all does play out. But yeah, we had a great chat to Tim. So dive into that.
You don't have a recommendation?
Not this week. It's been busy. Yeah. Who's had time to read anything this week or watch anything?
Apart from news. I mean, one thing we have been doing, and we'll move quickly onto Squiz Press in that case, Claire, is reading a lot about what's going on with Meta, Facebook, Instagram, and news. It can be quite a pointy conversation for media organizations like ours. However, it will affect everyone if what could potentially play out plays out, which is Meta potentially removing news from all of their platforms here in Australia. It's happened before. So we're choosing it for News Club next week.
It's an interesting one for us to talk to Squizzes about, and we are really keen for some feedback on it because, of course, the Squiz is agenda free, but this is one that very directly affects us, and we have a very strong point of view on these sorts of issues. We think a free and fair and open and accessible media in this country is a really important thing, as it is everywhere. So the discussion around if companies like Meta, which do control so much information that we consume, pulls out from Australia, what that might mean for our society, but also for media businesses.
Claire, last week I promised Squizzes I would ask you what your proudest moment is seven years into the business. You've had a week to think about it.
Yes.
It's got to be more than Fat Bear Week.
Well, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not you finally remembering my coffee order.
I still don't remember it.
Guys, it's been 7 years. And I just literally before we dived into the studio, Kate was at the coffee shop and said, what do you want? It's a flat white, isn't it? It's like, mate, it's been 7 years.
I did get
it's a, like it's a really complicated order.
It's so funny.
I have a latte.
I literally cannot. It's just, you know, everyone will understand this when there's a piece of information that you can't keep in your brain. Your coffee order is one of those ones for me.
Just doesn't get there.
Yeah.
Look, I'm trying not to hold it against you, as you can hear. No, probably my proudest moment. Look, it's a bit of a cop out. I love when someone emails us, and it happens maybe once every month or so, and says, I spat out my tea this morning because of the subject line of the newsletter.
Or the quote or the saying or the,
No, the subject line.
Oh, specifically the subject line.
Of the newsletter.
Yeah.
And we had one last week where it was Scott Morrison's retirement. He did that speech in Parliament. And the subject line was, now you're just somebody that I used to know, the Goitia song. And I got this lovely email from a woman saying, like, spat my tea out. That was hilarious. The reason why I love that so much is that I think it actually points to the deeper connection that we're trying to get with Squizzes, that it's like we're talking to you. You're in our brain. You get our sensibility. It's a lovely part, I think, of how we do the news.
Yeah.
And that you're along for that journey with us. So that always gives me a real buzz when people do get that.
For podcast listeners who might not know much about the newsletter, it's always a song lyric.
Yeah.
And it is always very clever. And there is quite a few emails saying I really enjoyed that. So, yeah. No, that's a good one.
Yeah. Probably the other one, Kate, would be we've just moved into a new office. We're feeling very adult. It was just lovely, I think, to get our own space after 7 years of doing this. We're building out a podcast studio, which will be amazing, to have the team. And again, it's an extension of, I think, sitting together very comfortably with a group of people that I just love to hang out with and work with and talk to and unpick problems and do really good things with. The team is absolutely, I think, something I'm very, very proud about.
Look, we're just going to leave it there.
Okay.
Can't beat that.
What are you, what's yours?
Can I have a week to think too? Please.
You can.
Permission to have a week?
Yep.
Thank you.
Sure.
That's it for us today. Thank you for listening to the Weekly Wrap. Thank you for being part of the Squeeze in whatever way you use us. News Club is out on Tuesday. If you like what we do, leave us a review. At The Squeeze News Club is our Instagram handle. We'll be back next week. Kate Watson, co-host of News Club and The Weekly Wrap, jumping in here to say thank you for listening to our podcasts first and foremost. And if you like them, we'd really appreciate it if you could share them. Tell your mates about us. Tell your family. Tell your barista, tell your hairdresser, whoever you think might be interested in the news that we cover. You telling people about us is still the number one way we grow. Thanks in advance.